Our next public hearing is subdivision 2004-55 J. Michael Waring, MJR Investors LLC.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Indian River 100, Sussex County, dividing 76.85 acres into 100 lots proposed under the cluster development concept. Also requesting a variance from the maximum allowed cul-de-sac length of 1,000 feet, being located northwesterly side of Road 297, also known as Mount Joy Road, 1,360 feet southeast of Road 308, also referred to as Cordry Road. This application appeared before us months ago, and I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has any additional comments.
Mr. Wheatley, as Lawrence stated, this application was heard a little bit more than a year ago on October 27th of 2005. The commission denied the application. It was for 110 lots. On January 4th of this year, the applicants requested permission to be able to present additional relevant information. The commission approved that request with the stipulation that once they repay the new fee, that the application would be reheard as soon as possible. And on September 25th, the applicant submitted an exhibit booklet. Each of you received a copy of that. That'll be made a part of the record. And we provided a revised plan with that booklet. That's all I have unless you have any questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone here representing this application?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, gentlemen, for the record. My name is Jim Fuquay. I'm an attorney here in Georgetown, and I'm representing the applicant, Michael Waring, and MJR Investors, LLC. With me is Mr. Waring, who is seated right back here with the striped shirt, and also Gary Couples of ECI Engineering, who did the site design and engineering work. As Mr. Abbott stated, a revised exhibit book was submitted, and I'll be referring to some of the exhibits in that book in my presentation. I assume you gentlemen each have a copy of that booklet. Again, this is a request to reconsider the denial of a subdivision application for a 99 single-family lot AR cluster subdivision to be known as Bayless Estates. This is a rehearing of the original application, which was presented to you on October 13, 2005. The original application was denied by you on October 27th, and your denial contained a detailed statement of the reasons and the basis for your decision. Again, as Mr. Abbott stated, on November 30th, we filed and requested an opportunity to reappear before the commission to present additional information for your consideration. That request was granted, and that is our purpose in being here before you tonight. I do want to make it clear from the outset that we are not here challenging your prior decision. That decision that you made last October was based on the original design and subdivision plan that was presented to you. Your prior decision denying that was very detailed. It was logical, and it properly addressed issues that are relevant to the subdivision ordinance. And in summary, your decision was appropriate based on the original subdivision plan, which had its faults, and I think you pretty clearly stated your basis for denial. Now, it's taken almost 9 months for the applicant to get back before you for this reconsideration, and there is a reason why it took us so long to do that. As I said, the reasons you stated for denial were very specific and comprehensive and really created the need to rethink this entire application in terms of its design and not seek just some superficial way to deal with the issues you raised. We were determined in redesigning the development that it had to be done in a way that we, of course, hoped would be acceptable to you. But more important than that, we recognize that the best way to make it acceptable to you was to create a design that was, number one, a superior design to a conventional design, and a design that integrated the subdivision plan into this location, into this physical situation, and address the concerns that you raised. Now, that being said, as an introduction, I certainly recognize that the commission would be justified in saying, why didn't the applicant do that in the first place? And I also recognize that the commission could say that the applicant shouldn't have made the commission do the applicant's work for him. Now, I'm hoping you don't say that, but I recognize you could say that. And I think we could just say, I just said it for you, so there's no need for you to say that.
Moving right along, Mr.
But that being said, the applicant, again, is sorry it wasn't done that way in the first place, but we can't change what was presented on that application. All we could do at this stage is to do what I think we have tried to do and I think we've accomplished, and that is to make our best effort to study and redesign the plans for this subdivision to address your comments and to create a community design that complies with the ordinances and justifies your reconsideration and approval. Now, the exhibit book that was submitted contains significant information regarding the development, and of course that's already part of the record. There also already exists the record from the prior hearing, which again just will incorporate into this record. And what I really propose to do in our presentation is to summarize the facts of this application and focus on the issues that you raised in your denial of the original application. And the starting point, just to refresh your memories, although I think you're all pretty familiar with the original application, this was the original plan for the subdivision. Again, entrance off of County Road 297, the lot configuration for the rec center, and two very large stormwater ponds. And the plan that's before you tonight that you have in the exhibit book is this plan right here. And this is what I'll be referring to.
Was too.
Excuse me, Mr. Fuqua. Go ahead.
Again, the plan that's before you there, it's proposing 99 single-family lots on 75.48 acres. The cluster ordinance at the time that this was originally filed permitted two lots per acre. So technically on this site, 150 lots would be permitted. The revised low-density cluster ordinance, which was passed earlier this year, and this area is in the low-density area, that reduces the density to 1.5 lots per acre. That ordinance would permit 113 lots. And again, this proposed subdivision contains 99 lots or 1.3 lots per acre, well under what's permitted under either the cluster or the low density cluster provisions. The minimum lot size in the development, again, would be 7,500 square feet. The average lot size is actually 8,095 square feet. Over 95% of the lots as now designed are located adjacent to open space. The development will maintain a total of 49.93 acres of open space, and that's 66% of the site, which will be an open space. And with the open space, if we excluded the stormwater and the wastewater areas from the open space, that would still result in 29 acres of open space, which is still 38% of the site, and again, well over what is actually required. The streets in the development would be built to county standards. Sidewalks would be located on both sides of the streets. Street lights would be located on the streets. A convenient, usable, accessible pedestrian trail system was designed. One of the criticisms you had of the original subdivision design was that it created a trail system that really wasn't accessible. It was a long trail that went back behind the water or the stormwater ponds. The trail system on here, I think as you can see, it is integrated right into the street design and the lots, loops around. The different residential areas that can interconnect to the recreational areas, and basically is a pedestrian connection of the different residential sections with each other and also with the rec area. I think more in line with what was contemplated in terms of pedestrian accessibility. Again, there's a center center recreational complex that will have a swimming pool. It will have a 48 by 80 foot community center and a tennis court. Also along the trail system, there will be several gazebos located at various locations where people can sit and talk or congregate. The development will be served by Central Water from a public utility company, and that would be Tide Water Utility, so there will be Central Water. The development would be served by Central Community Sewer. That would be designed to County Ordinance 38 standards. A soil study had been prepared and submitted to DENREC. A sewer feasibility letter dated October 11, 2005 was issued by DENREC, approving basically in design what was proposed on the site. That is in Appendix H of the exhibit book that we submitted. The development is in the Indian River School District and in the Indian River Fire Company service area. The traffic generated by the development will not have a significant impact. A TIS was not required for this development. However, one was prepared. That traffic impact study did conclude that there was no significant traffic impact. That's in Appendix I of the exhibit book. The site was inspected and delineated for wetlands by Ed Linnae of Environmental Resources, Inc. It was determined that there were no federal jurisdiction wetlands existing on the site. That was submitted to and actually approved by the Army Corps of Engineers, and that letter is in Appendix E. The site is not located in a floodplain. The FEMA maps show that the site is in the Zone X, which, as I understand it, is outside of a floodplain designation. A little bit over 35.8 acres of the existing woodlands would be preserved by this design. In addition, there'll be some areas of reforestation, which would be done in the community areas, and that would result in almost 50% of the site remaining in woodlands. Several studies were performed in connection with the original planning of the site. There was a cultural resource review, a phase one environmental site assessment, the TIS that I referred to in the wetland report. They're all in the appendixes. And part of the design also that wasn't in the original is a landscape buffer, which runs along the south boundary of the property and the east boundary of the property. This would be a 30-foot landscape buffer. The area along the road has a 15-foot buffer along there, in addition to a minimum 15-foot buffer, in addition to open space common areas along there. And then on the, I'll discuss the northern boundary, which is the boundary with the adjacent subdivision in a second. But as you can see, the stormwater ponds are along that boundary, as well as additional open space. The I think at the original public hearing, the people that owned a home approximately here where my finger is, which is about the closest house to the site, that house now will be buffered by the 30-foot forested buffer and will be, which again will be landscaped, and that was done to provide some privacy from those existing homes. As far as stormwater management, the stormwater ponds on the old plan were certainly the major reason for your denial, not the only reason, but certainly the major reason for your denial. Basically, the commission viewed those ponds as too large, too unattractive, and you were not satisfied as to why they were so big, and they raised questions as to the suitability of the site for development. And you recall that the rejected plan, again, had two very large ponds located to the rear. Those ponds totaled over 20 acres in size. The original design was basically site-specific and site-centered in its approach to how it was designed. And in light of your comments, obviously, it became clear that the stormwater situation is not created only by this site, that it's created and impacted by more than just this property. So what basically was done was two steps on how to analyze this situation. The first one was ECI analyzed the entire area drainage basin, not just the water on this site, but basically all the water that was draining toward this area. We have water coming onto this site from the west. We have on-site water, obviously, which accumulates. We have water that's accumulating on the adjacent development, which is Indian Town Farms. And then there's a question of where this existing water goes to. And in summary, from prior development in this area that predated some of the stormwater management regulations, it resulted in water becoming trapped on the site and accumulating on the site, as well as accumulating on the property adjacent to us at times, which is the Indian Town Farm subdivision. And there was no proper outlet for some of this water because that outlet had been blocked. Now, based on that study, ECI then went about trying to design a solution to it. And basically on the new plan, what you'll see there is the two large stormwater ponds have been replaced with five ponds, which will be a five-pond system. And what they'll utilize is a wet pretreatment storage pond and then a stormwater management and infiltration basin for treatment and discharge. Now, the redesign replaced the 20 acres of pond with 10.5 acres of pond, or about half what was on the original plan. And, of course, the stormwater system will be designed in accordance with the Delaware and the Sussex Conservation District regulations. The size of the five ponds, they're approximately the same. One is 2.5 acres, one is 1.6, one is 2.0, another one is 2.2, and the final one is 2.0 acres. Now, in order to reduce these stormwater ponds and in order to redesign this, it was necessary to basically work with the neighbors. And in order to accomplish that, Mr. Waring contacted the Indian Town Farms Homeowners Association. And through numerous meetings and discussions with the association, and in particular with Mrs. Nancy Yarish, the parties were able to agree to and entered into a memorandum of understanding that will permit the construction of stormwater facilities that service not only this development, but in addition, we'll be able to serve some of the water from the Indian Town Farms property that currently is ponding at heavy storms. And basically what was worked out was that a shared easement is going to be created so that water from this development will be able to discharge across the adjacent property and into the natural flow of drainage downstream. And that'll be able to address, as I said, not only this site, but also the adjacent site. The memorandum of understanding is in Appendix L in your exhibit booklet, and it basically covers the rights and the responsibilities of the parties in detail. And if you refer to that, I'll just summarize some of the provisions in there. The developer has agreed to put up a screening fence, which would go along that property line. That would be a 6-foot fence. The developer has agreed to tree preservation in that area to make sure that the wooded condition remains the same. There's going to be aerators put into the ponds in order to keep them proper and clean in terms of their appearance and their actual health. As I said, there is an easement that basically is being granted to the developer that will be an outlet control structure to be built there. There's going to be a well water testing that, again, will be our responsibility so that the people in the adjacent subdivision will be satisfied that their well water isn't being affected. And then there was contribution, obviously, to acquire the easement to the subdivision. Also, in the exhibit book that was submitted in Appendix M is a letter from the Indian Town Farms Homeowners Association indicating that they are in full support of the application before you tonight. I do want to just refer to that letter. It's the very last thing in the exhibit book. And that's a letter dated September 13th, 2006, from the Indian Town Farms Property Owner Association. It's addressed to Mr. Wheatley. Says, on behalf of our Indian Town Farms Association, I am pleased to advise you that our community is in full support of the proposed Bayless Estate Subdivision Preliminary Plan, which has been submitted to your commission for review and approval. If I drop down a couple sentences, I am pleased to state on behalf of our Homeowners Association and the Board of Directors that we are most pleased with the revisions that have been made to the original plan by the applicant, MJR Investors, LLC. We have been working closely with the developer since mid-January 2006, and through a cooperative effort by all parties with regard to establishing a much-needed stormwater outlet control structure on an easement area owned by our Homeowners Association to the rear of our community. We have developed and executed a memorandum of understanding with the developer. It is our understanding that the construction of this off-site outlet control device will provide almost 50% reduction in the original surface area of the stormwater management ponds, two shown on the developer's original preliminary plan. The revised plan now features five small stormwater management ponds throughout the proposed community, and these ponds in combination with the proposed outlet control device will provide a benefit to our community's current drainage issues whenever there are large storms of any duration. And then on the last page, we are confident that the revised plan now reflects a plan that not only that is not only a benefit to our community, but will also be a model for other residential developments throughout Sussex County. We will look forward to the opportunity to make our supporting comments before the Planning Commission at this hearing tonight. And unfortunately, Mrs. Yarish is having some serious health problems, and she could not be here. Mrs. Donato, who is the vice president of the Homeowners Association, is present here if you do have any questions for a representative from the association. But again, I think the letter speaks for itself. Bayless Estates is a use and a design that fits into this area. There was an area map that submitted in the exhibit book that was submitted. It shows the site and this site is located just off of Route 24. Indian Town Farms is located adjacent behind us. This circle is indicating a 2-mile radius of the site, and what's shown on here are the existing residential developments and mobile home parks that are located in the area. Obviously, there are a number of properties in this area, and a residential development of this density and this character is certainly consistent and in accordance with what is already located there. Gentlemen, we have attempted, and we believe we have been successful in addressing the concerns that were expressed in your original denial. And as I said, they were very specific. We've reviewed those in great detail. We've analyzed those, and what we are presenting tonight, hopefully, satisfies you that we have addressed those. Our presentation has summarized those issues, but I would refer you to Appendix J in the book, and that is a response in some detail specifically to the objections you raised in your letter of denial. So in Appendix J, we've tried to go back to your decision of October 31st, 2005 and address the points 1 through 10 in some detail. I'm not going to read that. I'm just going to refer to that exhibit. Also, I believe our presentation has addressed the considerations that are listed in Section 99.9C of the Subdivision Ordinance. And again, I'll refer to Appendix K. And again, that is a detailed statement of how we feel that we've addressed the Section 99.9C items. We believe the revised plan also meets the requirements of the Cluster Ordinance. I mentioned the landscape buffer around the perimeter. In addition, as agreed in the MOU, there'll be a fence located along the one boundary of the property. All lots do front on a subdivision street. There's no wetlands in any lots. In fact, there's no wetlands located on the site. There will be central water and sewer. We believe that this plan and this density provides a superior design at a low density of 1.3 lots per acre. It's designed to fit into the natural environment, including 66% of the site remaining in open space. We've addressed the stormwater situation in a manner that benefits not just the development and not just this site, but also the neighboring property, Indian Town Farms. We've created an attractive landscaping feature. The ponds now really fit into the development. The trail system works its way around the ponds and near the ponds and really becomes more an aesthetic feature in terms of how the development is set up. I do have some proposed conditions and proposed findings, which I'll submit to Mr. Lank and ask that he pass those out to you.
Thank you, Mr. McQuay.
And again, I won't read those for the record unless you have a question about those. In conclusion, as I've already acknowledged, this application could have been done better the first time. But the applicant should be given credit that we did take the time, we did bear the expense, and we did make the effort to ensure that it was done right the second time. And at this point in time, that's the best we can do. Now, for the reasons that I've stated and based on the additional relevant information that we've presented tonight, we would request your reconsideration and hopefully your approval of this application. And obviously, we listened to what you said, and that has resulted in a quality low-density subdivision designed to be compatible with the neighbors and beneficial to the neighbors. And we think it is a superior development as envisioned by the cluster ordinance. And gentlemen, that's all we have to present in terms of our actual application. We would again try to answer any questions you might have. And I would just add the one thing that the ordinance provides an opportunity to appear before you and to seek your reconsideration. So that is part of the system. That is part of the process. And obviously, it certainly is better not to have to do that, but we've tried to do the best we can to gather your approval and your reconsideration and justify your approval. Gentlemen, that's everything I have to present.
All right, sir. Thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you. Mr. Johnson.
Well, I think there's obviously a world of difference between the first proposal and the second proposal, and I want to commend you on your efforts at redesigning the plan, Mr. Koppels. I think that's a sort of superior to what we saw before. One of the things I didn't see, Mr. Fuquay, I was being known as a basketball court man. Now it seems like we're being known as a school bus stop man. Do we have a provision for that on your within your plan? There's one there.
Mr. Koppels, I need you to come up and introduce yourself, and if you're going to testify as an expert, I need your qualifications.
Okay. My name is Gary Koppels. I'm with ECI, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. I'm a registered professional land surveyor and a professional planner. I've been in the business for too long, maybe 40 years, I think. Let's just put it this way. I'm 59 years old. I started surveying.
You can stop. All right. Answer the man's question, please.
Yeah, we have one plan for the entrance. We know that we should have a school bus stop to provide that.
Okay.
We do have, obviously, we have a lot of common area there, and we have room to place it in a number of places.
So that wouldn't be that would not be a problem for you. I guess it's more of a legal question as well as a tax question. One of the, under your memorandum of understanding, there was to be a contribution of sorts to the Homeowners Association for Indian Towns. What would be the tax consequences of that money?
To the Homeowners Association?
Yes.
More tax question than I don't.
Yeah, that seems, Mr. John, I can maybe understand the basis for it, but I don't know if that's so much of a land use issue.
Well, it might be an issue for the homeowners association in terms of their MOU, in terms of their president or treasurer signing off on something. They're not aware of some of the consequences of some of the conditions.
I would suggest that that's something they should talk to their tax advisor, accountant, or tax attorney about. I'm with Mr. Fuqua on that. I'm not going to touch that.
Beyond the scope of the commission.
Okay.
Cool.
What a good question.
Thank you.
Actually, this is a good question. I hadn't thought about that.
Set the tax preparer, right?
And I guess if Mr. Couples will come up, I'd have some questions about the stormwater issues that are being mitigated. And if you could clarify for me again, I know you addressed it, Mr. Fuqua. How will the stormwater be reduced, or stormwater issues be reduced for not only Indian Town Farms, but also for this community?
Okay.
I think you have to take a look at that prior to Indian Town Farms subdivision. Prior to that, there was a stream that actually drained this parcel, and it actually went through in this vicinity, meandered through the Indian Town Farms project, and there's about a 5-acre piece that's right directly to the rear of where the development of Indian Town Farms is now. That's the area where we're talking about acquiring that easement. It's basically a wooded open space that they're not using for anything. That's the way it originally flowed. And as a result of the sheet flow, previous development upstream that runs down through here, what was happening to Indian Town Farms, what continues to happen, is it bypasses. In fact, some of these people have built berms that impounds the water. And what it eventually does is the water finds its way around those berms and ponds in the Indian Town Farms. So what we're planning on doing is we're going to catch it before it gets there. And that's the way these ponds work. These ponds work on a staged basis. So this one here would fill, then this would fill, then this would fill, then this would fill. Before, if you remember, where we had twice the amount of ponds, we didn't have an outlet. And so we had to simply rely on infiltration. Now we have an outlet back to the original stream that originally drained this property.
So this will drain into that existing stream.
Existing ditch, absolutely. That ditch goes all the way down past Food Line. It's a large, large ditch. And we've walked every square inch of it. So that's how it works.
Okay.
Okay?
I have no further questions.
And part of the problem ditch. When this was here before was that it's not so much that this site was too low, and as I said, there's no wetlands actually
right.
located
it's not
on
low
this
ground.
Site. It was just that it was trapped there because of that. And legally, there is a doctrine called the natural flow of water, basically, that you have the right to the natural drainage of things. And what we've been able to do is by cooperating and working with the association, taking the land that they had, combining the water problem together, we're able to address it through creating a better flow.
Good neighbor policy.
That's should have been the good neighbor policy in the beginning, but sometimes it doesn't work that way.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
No further questions.
Mr. Burton.
Will you be making any improvements to the ditch past the site?
No, we don't have.
We
don't have any easement. And walking down through the ditch exists. It's clearly there, and it's been functioning for quite a long time to drain all the way, those properties, not only in Town Farms, but all the way down to the Food Line and beyond. Actually, it crosses the road at Food Line and finds its way, you know, into the bay, I guess.
Yeah. You mentioned that there would be water testing. How often would that be?
That's in the memorandum of understanding. I think what they were going to do is they were going to, the developer was going to pay for kits, water testing kits, so people could just test their water, I guess, whenever they wanted to, really. It was just to ensure that there was going to be no negative impact on the existing wells on the site from the stormwater ponds.
Okay. I have no further questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Gordy?
Yeah, what measures will be made to maintain the 35 acres of forest?
Well, that will all be basically in the common areas that the association would own. So it would basically be up to the association in terms of maintenance. But I think other than clearing, you know, dead brush and, you know, nuisance kind of things, the idea is to basically pretty much leave it in a natural state, other than where, like, the trails are located and things of that nature. as you know, it, I mean, I've been out there and seen it, and it's, you know, there's a lot of growth in there, and the idea was to keep it as a wooded site.
And what type of sewer are you proposing? I mean, is it spray irrigation, or did they haven't got that far yet?
No, it's going to be probably mounds. Probably mounds.
That's all the questions I have.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Smith.
What type of maintenance of the stormwater management ponds is required to ensure that this staging process works?
Well, I think probably like any other stormwater management facility in Sussex County, maintenance is a requirement, and it's going to have to be performed by the homeowners association. That's what's normal and customary. Obviously, if the pipe becomes blocked up, then they need to do that. They need to clean that out. If there needs to be weed removal or brush removal out of the pond areas, which I wouldn't expect because they are wet ponds and they are going to be aerated. And they are a landscape feature, so it would behoove the homeowners association, quite frankly, to maintain that in a pristine manner, because they are, as you can see here, they really and truly are a landscape amenity at this point.
And these ponds are designed to handle the same volume of water that the much larger pond on the first plan?
Yeah, well, actually, I think what you had to understand is we didn't have an outlet for the first plan. We just didn't have the opportunity to talk to the folks at Indian Town Farms, and you know, as a result of your action, obviously it behooved us to speak with them, and I apologize. We should have talked with them a long, long time ago. There's no question about that. We did, and I think we have a solution to Bayless's issues as well as theirs, and I think that's, you know, a great move forward.
Thank you.
How close are you to a county sanitary sewer district?
Basically, the sewer district runs up Route 24. There is no plans to date for sewer service in this area for the foreseeable future.
That's been verified through the engineering department?
That's been verified through all the comprehensive plans, the sewer comprehensive plans that we have access to. Yes, sir.
That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Counts.
Sort of a follow-up to that issue on your utilities. The water is going to be provided by a new well or an extension of
Tidewater water. Already has an existing facility along Route 24. It's and how they're going to provide the service. How they're not anticipating a well field for this site.
And the treatment you show on your drawing a waste disposal area, but you don't show where the facility is. Have you determined that location yet?
Going to be, I mean, as far as the treatment plant itself? No, we really, really haven't. We know that this area here is suitable with the soils, so it's obviously going to go somewhere in there.
That's all.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Robertson.
Follow up on actually two questions. With regard to the nearest county sewer, have you talked to anybody up on the third floor about the county sewer plan?
We talked to them previously, you know, with the previous plan, and at that point there was no hope of Connecticut. Obviously, if we could connect to a county sewer, we'd do it in a heartbeat.
Okay. And then on the outfall, I think Mr. Burton or somebody asked a question about any improvements to the easement area. I understand what you're saying downstream, you know, but at some point, I can't tell from the site plan, but it looks like it more or less stops at the property line, and then there's an easement on the whatever it is in the in-town village. I mean, is there going to be any? I guess my concern is that you're going to do improvements to the boundary line and stop, you know. And if you could just clarify that, I guess.
I think this development will be responsible for the maintenance and the upkeep of the new facilities that will be placed on the easement area. So the Indian Town Association will not be responsible for that.
Right.
It will be the responsibility of this developer for their on-site stormwater management as well as any improvements done to the easement area.
Okay, that was my question. So they're going to be responsible for
yes.
the easement area after.
Right.
Okay, that's what I wanted to get clear. Okay, that's all the questions I had.
All right, sir. Thank you. Hey, gentlemen, if you're so kind as to take a seat, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2004-55, J. Michael Waring, MJR Investors, LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2004-55? Yes, ma'am, please come up.
Mary Street, Mountjoy Road, adjacent property.
Mm-hmm.
This is
Sterling Street.
Good evening.
Question that I have is the association, Indian Town Association, seems to be the squeakiest wheel that's getting the most attention. The only thing that I ask of you is, as individuals, if their water, well water, is going to be affected, what's going to be the adverse or good reaction for us?
What's going to be the adverse reaction for you?
On our well water. Or, I mean, they've received a memorandum of understanding. We haven't had that opportunity or been afforded that.
Is your question that you would like to have that extended to you? Or, because I can't answer your question about what's going to happen. I don't know.
Oh, I understand that. I guess my concern is if Indian Town is concerned with the well water on their side and we're on the opposite side, my concern also is our well water.
Okay.
And I don't know how to approach this or how to get an answer.
Well, apparently the way Indian Town did it is they had a memorandum of understanding.
And they got that through contacting the attorney. And
well,
I have
got that through contacting the gentleman that are sitting behind you.
That's correct, and I have also done the same.
Okay. With what result?
Mr. Dukes had previously had this, returned my phone calls. Mr. Fuqua, I have called 4 or 5 times and never received a response from his office.
Is that right?
Yes,
well,
sir.
I'll get to the bottom of that for you right now.
I appreciate that.
If you would just do me a favor, because I need to ask him. So I'm going to ask you to just stand aside there, or you might want to take a seat there in the front row. Mr. Fuqua, if you come up here and tell me why you haven't returned this lady's phone calls.
Honestly, Mrs. Street, I don't have any recollection.
Tell me, not her.
I have no recollection of any calls from Mrs. Street. Did you call Jim Fuqua?
Yes, sir.
Did you leave voicemail?
I left messages with the secretary and also voicemail.
I can't say Mrs. Street's wrong, but I can say I never received any messages. I have been out of the office a bit this summer, all right, but even that's not an excuse because I really have no recollection of receiving things, unless there was a. If I'd gotten a message, I would have it.
Well,
but that's beside the point. If I can get to the issue, I think
today,
more forward.
Today's a new day. Why don't you just address the lady's issue right now, since she's here and we're here and that clock's running?
I would. I'd like to amend my conditions. It will add one that I will return phone calls more promptly. Or something.
Okay. Very good. Duly noted.
Mrs. Street, in seriousness, the stormwater ponds are located to the rear.
Yes.
So the concept of the water testing was that those folks were concerned that the stormwater ponds were back there, would that affect their wells?
Correct.
So that's why the water testing thing came up. It didn't really cross our minds up here because the stormwater is really located in the rear. The streets, I believe, are right here in the front, right?
Yes, sir,
okay.
But also our property would be adjacent to the left hand, the pond that's sitting by itself.
This one here?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, again, I mean, the distance here is, that's a great distance, but to get to the point, I'm sure there's no problem with bringing you in on the same deal. We'll get the water testing kits, and you can use that. Find a base so you know exactly what the water is, and then you can compare it to future tests to determine if there is any impact on it. The other thing, and I know you didn't, or maybe you have seen the plan, but when I was talking about the plan, you couldn't see it because you were back there. But your house, was over in this area.
Mm-hmm.
The original plan had these backyards coming right up to your property line. So what was done here is there's a 30-foot strip here along there that'll be a forested buffer. That's not part of the lot. That'll just be a common area, and that'll be either I'm not sure what that is now. Either the trees will remain or they'll be planted with new landscaping. So it'll be a 30-foot buffer before you would get to the rear of a lot line. And then, of course, the county has a setback on how close somebody can build on that lot. Our estimate is that the closest a house could be to your house would be about 80 feet as compared compare. I think before it was like 25 feet or something. The idea was to put in a buffer along that entire property line, as we think it's an improvement on what you were basically not pleased with before.
Thank you, Mr. Fuquay. Mrs. Street?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You heard what Mr. Fuquay had to say and what he's offering. Does that help you at all, or is that what are the concerns?
I will say I'll take it into consideration. I'm not going to make a
that's fine.
Resolution
now. I just want to make sure that you understand what
he's saying,
and that is between you and him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any other concerns this evening we can help you with?
No. Do you?
Sir?
I've noticed on a lot of the developments with Tidewater Utilities or Artesian, they have a big building where they house their their generators or equipment or whatever. Where, if they're going to have one, where is that going to be?
It doesn't appear that there's any on the plan, but I will verify that with the engineer. If you'll give me a second.
Sure.
Mr. Couples, can you address that for us, please? You may do it from there. You can just do your phone.
The sewer system, and I think what he's probably referring to is the backup generators for wastewater treatment plants.
Right.
And what they do is they house them in a structure so that if they become necessary for that generator to come on, that the neighbors don't hear it. Its location, I think, would probably be up in this vicinity here.
Should you show them again? I don't think Mrs. Street saw you.
Up in the vicinity of the community center, way up in here. So from your house, it's probably 500-600 feet. So it's a good distance, and it is soundproofed. And that's, that would be our intention.
Would there be any, since you've stated where it would be, do you have any objection to that being a condition if this were to be approved, that it be located internally? That's one of the things that the commission typically addresses on water tanks, wells, stormwater, but in wastewater, that they be located as far as possible from.
Well, and you know, we're more than willing to commit to that. Obviously, the physics of the site dictate where a wastewater treatment plant is.
Right.
You know, it's pretty flat back there, so I suspect it would be in this vicinity. But you wouldn't want to build additional roads to it anyway, so I would imagine right here, right at the end of that little stub road or adjacent to the stub road that goes to the east.
Okay, thank you, sir.
And my final question is, who ensures compliance of all of this that's been said tonight after it's all said and done?
Every branch of government you can think of. And that's only half kidding. There are numerous federal, state, and local agencies that have a hand and a say in what happens with this stuff. For instance, your stormwater ponds and so on, that's governed by the Soil Conservation District, which is actually, I believe, ultimately a federal agency. Of course, DelDOT does the state highway. The state of Delaware's Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control has the say over the septic and so on. The planning issues as far as the design of the development and so on are this Planning and Zoning Commission here, then the Planning and Zoning Office. So there are plenty of people who have a hand in it. If you have a concern, you're certainly, as your first resource, welcome to contact Mr. Lank here at our office, and then he can direct you if you have a concern about a specific operation or portion of what's going on there as to who the responsible agency is. But I can assure you that there are many layers. You will get all the government you're paying for.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I'm sure that if you call Mr. Fuquay tomorrow, he'll return your call. Actually, he won't be in tomorrow. There you go. Okay, well, is there anyone else that would like to speak in opposition? Anyone else? Anyone on the commission have any questions? All right, then we'll close the public hearing. We invite you to spend the rest of the evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you might prefer to call the office in the morning.